My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. And this time, as is tradition, having happened once before, we're doing the end of the year spectacular. So we're not actually covering anything in particular. We're kind of just like doing weird in jokes and recommending shit and kind of reminiscing about the podcast, which at this point has been going on. I mean, Christ. When we started this, none of us thought this would last this long, right?
Yeah, no.
No, definitely not.
I thought maybe like a couple weeks, honestly.
Yeah. You thought we'd do like two and then we'd have an enormous fight over woke cancel culture and one of us would storm off.
That's exactly, yeah, back in 2016, that's exactly what I thought. I was very prescient.
Yep. Yeah, so first off, I thought let's just start with some good vibes. What's everyone's sort of favorite Bad Time Radio memory? I would be better if it were something this year, but obviously, you know, just whatever you got, you got. Rahul, what's yours?
Favorite Bad Time memory. It's got to be listening to Ronald's soul get sucked out by Resident Evil.
The bitter
complaints started, I want to say, halfway through RE1.
Yeah, he started off like, this movie isn't so bad. I can see some real potential here. And then each one, he's been getting more and more broken until the last movie, he's like, you know what? Fuck it. This movie is stupid and nothing makes sense, but it's good somehow.
Yeah.
A position I share, incidentally.
I actually kind of like that one. So,
yeah. Okay. So my favorite memory, joke, whatever, I know this is self-indulgent, but I still think it's really, really funny that I thought of calling the guy from Unhinged Johnny No Hinges. That's a solid joke to me.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
That is a classic. That was a good episode, too. That was a good movie. I actually kind of like that one.
And then I guess more generally, the ongoing saga of us trying to watch 2025, The World Held Hostage by the Virus, a movie the universe clearly did not want us to watch, but we persisted. Like two missed recordings, Rahul renting it twice, Ronald like talking about it the way like someone will talk about the plague that they think is coming to your village that has just hit their village.
Okay.
That was what happened.
More or less,
You guys were about to get hit by the 2025 plague.
was 2025 worse than Iron Mask? It was, but like Iron Mask was
not even fucking close.
I mean, I'm weirdly a 2025, The World Held Hostage by the Virus, and also I don't know if that's actually the title. Apologist, not because it's good, but because I remember it being very funny. I guess I just was in a much better mood when I watched it than you guys were. But
I'll be honest. I would watch Iron Mask again.
Dude, that movie was bad. Like,
it was
really bad.
It was bad. I'm not saying it wasn't, but I had an okay time with it.
It was painful. So I remember Iron Mask being painful because of like the story and the way it like chopped stuff up.
And also a long action sequence that's boring or that's not good is like one of the most boring things in the world.
I agree with everything you guys are saying. I think that movie was a good movie that was very stunted by horrible execution. 2025 was a bad movie that also had bad execution.
Wow. Like, you think there was nothing good. The Iron Mask was a good movie?
I think that there was at least somebody there who had some serious passion about what was going on, and they had some interesting ideas.
Those interesting ideas being like, what if we sort of did a Russian-Chinese co-production so we could get a lot more money in here?
Also get me Arnold.
Yeah. You know what? I actually don't think that Iron Mask was like only made to make money. I think that it was stunted because
it didn't make money.
It's good because that means it might have achieved its goals then.
Yeah. But I really don't think that movie did not feel like
it was made to launder money.
Yeah. To me, it did not feel like a movie that was just there to make money. But then maybe it's just because it was like, you know, the Chinese movie market or the Chinese movie production is like slightly different.
Honestly, if you heard today that Russia was making a movie like V3, I think they actually like were teasing this where they were going to go to India. If you heard that movie was getting made today, it would 100% be a money laundering thing to help them get some of the assets that were frozen after the Ukraine war.
Yeah,
for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Anyways, Ronald, what's your favorite memory?
I have a couple. One was that Rahul started watching 2025. He rented it, paid money to rent it, and then couldn't finish it because it was terrible, and so he had to rent it again. And so he paid for that shitty movie twice.
Shame.
You know, it occurs to me something very similar actually happened with Iron Mask, where when we watched it, when we asked him why, he's like, well, I tried watching it a while back and I didn't like it, so I thought it'd be good for the podcast. So this is the second time Rahul has bailed in the middle of the movie and still made us watch it. Yeah. What else you got?
Okay, my second one is when Lawrence went on a big tear trying to convince me that The Pope's Exorcist was an excellent movie. And then when we watched it, I was like, yeah, it was all right. And Lawrence had some kind of existential crisis afterwards.
Yeah. About what it means to like a movie.
Yeah.
When Lawrence had his eighth existential crisis.
Yeah. Oh, we're way past eight, like, it's dude. Not that I'm in deep. Triple digits.
I'm like, it's not that deep, brother. I thought it was like, all right. I didn't even dislike it.
Oh, man.
Good times this year, honestly.
Yeah. Jeff Bridges' accent in Seventh Son.
Yeah, and then our attempts to mimic it.
Jeff Bridges' attempts to mimic it were so bad. Seventh Son was such a shit movie, but like looking back on that episode was really fun.
You know, I think that movie, not great, but the decision to cast Jeff Bridges and then just have him be in the movie through the whole thing, kind of genius. Like, normally the wise old mentor dies about halfway through, and they're just like, nah, he's the best part, so he's in here.
Yeah, and he kind of becomes the main character in some ways.
Yeah, the young guy kind of sucks at everything, so Jeff Bridges keeps having to do it. And yeah, it never once drops the accent.
Yeah.
It's kind of beautiful.
In the way that Jeff Bridges carried that movie, even though it was bad, was kind of like that Nick Cage movie, the Apocalypse one. What was that movie called?
Knowing?
The Japanese one.
I think it's called Knowing.
Wait.
No, not Knowing.
No, the crazy one.
The one that we watched for the
pod.
The
one that's supposedly crazy that wasn't crazy.
Prisoners of the Ghost Land?
Yeah,
it rules that there's multiple Nick Cage apocalypse movies.
Yeah.
Probably more than the two we just said, honestly.
Yeah, probably more. But yeah, Prisoners of the Ghost Land, the one we actually watched for the pod. Like, both of those movies are, like, pretty bad. But, like, they have, like, a crazy casting in it that, like, kind of carries everything else and is the most interesting part of the movie that makes it kind of work. So yeah.
Anyways, transitioning a little bit, what do we think the best movie we've watched is? For me, pretty obvious, Tango and Cash. Hard to argue with it. I picked it because it's my favorite movie, so naturally I think it's the best movie we covered. And I guess of the ones that I didn't pick specifically for that purpose, I know that this is a very controversial opinion.
Oh god!
But I've actually rewatched 2025, The World Held Hostage by the Virus, a couple of
times.
Me?
What the fuck?
Yeah. Do not go recommending that movie,
dude. What?
I know it's not good. Like, we've definitely watched movies on here that are higher quality. But in terms of would I ever watch Seventh Son again? Maybe, maybe not. Would I ever watch another Resident Evil movie? Okay, yeah. But I mean, numbers on the board, I have rewatched 2025.
Why?
Yeah.
Okay. Take us through the day. What happens when you wake up and you're like, today is the day?
Well, first of all, I'm not planning it that far ahead, Rahul. It's not like Christmas Eve where it's like, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. I can finally watch it.
That's like, what?
I'm sitting at work. I'm doing work. I want something out of the background. I put it on, and every 5 seconds every minute or so, I look over, and there's something hilarious happening, and I laugh.
You look over, and he's like, we do those fish.
Yes, and we all on deficiency.
What the
Jesus
fuck?
Christ.
You're like, oh my god. I can't believe they're still getting views on that video. You should be ashamed.
Yeah. I mean, you supported like the shittiest filmmaking of all time. I didn't even care that the message was terrible. That movie was awful.
Yeah. Okay, Ronald, what do you think the best thing we've covered is?
Okay, well, just because I knew you were going to ask this, and I knew Rahul was going to be like, I don't even know what we watched this year, I went through and compiled every movie that we did watch this year.
Oh, hello.
At least the ones that we released since the last recap that we did. Mm-hmm. So we watched Poseidon, Disturbing the Peace. I don't think Rahul was there for that one.
No.
2025, The World Enslaved by a Virus.
Seventh Son. The title wrong.
Yeah.
To my favorite movie.
Seventh Son, The Pope's Exorcist, Of Unknown Origin, Resident Evil 1 through 5, Tango and Cash, Dune 1984, and Virtuosity.
You know what? I want to amend my answer a little bit. I forgot about Of Unknown Origin. That movie, like, is unironically, like, a great movie.
That Although, is just again, a good
that's another
movie.
One I picked. That's another one I picked because it was good. So
yeah. And that one was like, it wasn't the best pod episode because we were just like, yeah, this movie ruled. But yeah. I mean, we had a good time on the pod episode. Don't get me wrong, but like,
I'm sorry. Did you mention Prometheus on that list?
Oh, right.
I didn't add Prometheus because Lawrence and I weren't there for that one, but yes, that's true. Prometheus. Huh. I was putting the movies that I had watched.
Okay.
I think that's like the only one I missed.
Or were you casting shade upon Prometheus?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was casting shade that Prometheus isn't a movie. Is that what I'm is that what you're trying to imply?
You bastard.
Or possibly that I mean, you were also legitimately saying that you didn't watch it for the pod. Like, that's just a straight up fact of the list and your life. So Ronald, what do you think the best one was?
Man, there were some good ones. Unknown Origin was fantastic. Obviously Tango and Cash was great. Honestly, that was probably my favorite, but of ones that haven't been picked yet, I think I really liked the 1984 Dune. It was a great episode it was a great one to watch for the pod too. And it was just like, it was bizarre. It's not like a great movie, I wouldn't say, but I had a really good time watching it, even though it was very stupid and kind of peeled off at the end.
That episode is legit fantastic too. You got me and Dan going deep on the Dune lore while Brandon's just like, wait, the Benny what?
Yeah, but having Brandon there as somebody who hadn't like experienced Dune in any way before was like the actual perfect addition for that episode. So
yeah, I mean, Brandon might disagree, but for everyone else, Rahul, what do you think the best movie we watched this year?
Obviously Prometheus, but given that we weren't all there.
I mean, you could still pick it. I just didn't watch that one.
Yeah, I am going to say try to pick one. As if it's Prometheus, cool, but also tell us one that you didn't pick, you know?
Yeah. Well, Tango and Cash was probably the best one. Was that Traffic movie? Oh, that was last year. Okay.
Yeah, Unhinged. The Ballad of Johnny No Hinges.
Yeah, you know, I would give it to Tango and Cash. Dune is probably number two because I have a thing for old sci-fi.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love the scenery in that. Love the music.
Yeah, everything but the plot in that movie is great.
Yeah.
The acting.
Yeah. Acting was not
everything but most of the things you normally watch a movie for.
Right. The second half, yeah. The second whole half. The narration.
I liked the narration. Personally, I was a big fan of it. Think more movies should do it. I don't have a problem
with narration as a concept, but in that movie it was just like constant lore dumps.
Yeah,
and not even necessarily lore dumps. It was like telling you what the characters were like and what they were doing. And it's like, okay, why am I watching the movie then? Like,
yeah, but it just felt so old timey. It was so perfect for what I was watching.
It was not perfect.
It was so perfect.
It was bad.
Good choice.
I think people even at the time agree.
Well, they were wrong.
It wasn't a product of the time. It was like at the time people were like, this sucks.
David Lynch, the man who made it, is so unhappy with the movie, he refuses to talk about it. To the point where there's a section on the Wikipedia that notes David Lynch normally doesn't talk about this movie. One time he surprised an interviewer by answering a few questions about it. He refuses those answers.
And it wasn't like a lot. It wasn't like an extensive answer either.
Yeah, he's just like, I might watch it again, maybe. And that was it.
Yeah, the interview was, stop following me.
Anyways, okay, now this one might be a little bit harder. What do you guys think the best OTR we've done is? It's tricky because so many of them kind of blur together, you know?
Yeah. We did the Moonbeam. Neanderthal, obviously.
Yeah, the Neanderthal is probably the most fun one we've done.
Neanderthal was fantastic.
Yeah, because it's so fucking stupid. I think the actual good best one is probably the thing on the Forrible Board.
Yeah, though. Then we do Forrible Board this
season.
Oh,
scene. Yeah, Forrible Board
was that good. Was really good. I mean, if we're just talking best episode of radio, absolutely. Also, maybe our best episode, because we had Dan there, and we went off on tangents about, like, drilling.
Well, I'll stand by our Dune episode as like, because that's where we discovered the immortal phrase, no man has ever been tested by the box, which made me laugh very, very hard and still does.
I think that was maybe your
favorite phrase. Did we do the leech episode this year?
Yeah, we sure did. I mean, that's a terrible episode of radio. But we had so much fun.
Great episode of Bad Time Radio.
Yeah, man. Okay. And finally, I think this is going to be very controversial. What's the worst thing we've watched or listened to? I think watched, it's still Night Creature for me, boys. I was so fucking bored.
Oh, you mean all time, okay.
All time or not this year?
I mean, this year, I think, again, controversial, the worst thing might be Poseidon, just because the only thing I remember about that movie is that I did that very funny thing where I told the summary from the point of view of a minor character for no reason.
I think that Disturbing the Peace was worse than Poseidon.
Oh, fuck, yeah, right.
And I think the fact that you couldn't even remember that we watched it, you know, even though I mentioned it like 10 minutes ago, just cements the fact that Disturbing the Peace was probably one of the most forgettable movies I've ever seen.
I've kind of thought about Disturbing the Peace a little bit from that one scene where the guys, like, the two security guards are like joshing each other about what they could buy with the money, and one of them's Hispanic, so the other one's good. Like, you could buy so many tacos with that. The first guy's like, that's racist, but I like tacos, so it's okay. And I might have done a better job with the line than he did.
Genuinely some of the worst acting I've ever seen in a movie.
Wow. Like,
I'm not even kidding, and like lower than porn level acting. Not joking. Like, it's like, oh my god. Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Lords, but one of the strippers is maybe an actual porn actress in that.
I don't know. I think you're confused that one of the hot ladies is an actual wrestling star. I don't think that they're, and either of them were in porn.
No. Sorry, not one of the main characters. If I recall correctly, a security guard, like, is like sitting outside of the strip club.
I'll have a look.
A stripper comes out and she's barely on screen. I think maybe she has one line, and I think she might be an actual porn actress. I feel like I kind of remember us looking that up, but if I recall correctly, maybe I'm making this all up, but if I recall correctly, she has like one line read, and her line read is like far and away better than the security guards, who's like the worst actor in the movie. And you're like, this woman is clearly like a porn actress, and you can tell the difference between somebody who like at least knows a few things about like reading lines. I don't know.
So Guy Pearce was also bad?
No, Guy Pearce was great.
Okay.
The only problem was that like he wasn't like
they didn't give him anything to do, and they didn't have any money for action.
Yeah. So a lot of the movie is just him alone. So he doesn't like have interactions with other people. It was really weird. Very weird movie. Very
like
weird.
They filmed
choices.
Him after the fact and just sort of shoved him in the movie.
But apparently that's not what happened. So that's what we were speculating. But we like looked it up, and apparently like they filmed it all on location, weird. Like over a certain amount of time. And yeah, for some reason they just put Guy Pearce in like his own scenes like most of the time. But I think one thing that we talked about during that episode is like it is violent how big of a difference of acting there is between Guy Pearce and like everyone else in the movie. And there's like tears in that movie. Like Guy Pearce is obviously like a fantastic actor, and he's just like a regular Hollywood A-level actor, right? But yeah. Like after that you have like some like C-level guys who are in,
you got Devon Sawa is like the second guy, and then after that you've got the professional wrestlers, which there's more than one.
And they're, and like, okay, but they're, like, pretty bad compared to Guy Pearce.
And then after that, you've got people that we legit think that they just found in the town or something.
And it's, like, some... It's like you couldn't, like, try to do the line read as bad as they do. Like,
Dang, how did you find this movie? Who found this one?
I found it. It was just on Hulu, and I'm like, well, there's a lot of good directive streaming action movie, and then it turned out this wasn't. So, one of them, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be between those two, beside Disturbing the Peace.
I will say it does have a legitimately pretty cool poster. So I'm an idiot for falling for that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, I think it was worth a shot because, like you said, like, direct-to-action movies can work. Like, sometimes they're fucking fantastic. Like, pretty much every Scott Adkins movie. But this one just didn't. Poseidon, I think it was kind of an interesting one because it has one amazing scene.
When the boat flips.
Where the boat flips. Really fucking cool. The rest of the movie is incredibly boring.
You know, now that I'm looking at the poster for Disturbing the Peace, it's not actually that great of a poster, and I feel extremely stupid for having I put it in the Discord. It's not as good as I remember.
It's not terrible, but...
But it doesn't jump out at you as I must watch this movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Raul, what do you... I was actually kind of surprised you didn't jump in to defend Night Creatures, your weird recurring bit of claiming that movie wasn't terrible.
It is absolutely not the worst thing we've seen.
Really?
You're both wrong.
What is the worst thing we've seen? Last
Orbis
time you tried
2?
To claim it was Wishmaster 2.
Oh, man. Probably Krieg.
But that's not,
not even a movie.
Yeah.
made that joke last time.
just trying to upset me. The joke where you just say hurtful things. Hell yeah.
How is that hurtful?
You're shitting on something I love for no purpose other than to upset me because I love it. You don't actually think it's the worst thing we covered.
You don't know that. Anyway, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But you only knew that I was right because I admitted it.
Yeah, otherwise sure. You'd be in the dark.
Yeah, otherwise I couldn't guess that you were trolling me.
Okay, worst movie, woof. You know, I'm going to give it to, I mean... 25 is such an obvious choice, but I'm going to exclude it because it's not even a movie. I'm going to have Iron Mask.
Mask wasn't this year, bro.
It is still the worst thing. I mean, that's a legitimately pretty good choice for the worst thing.
I think
thing.
It might be the worst movie we've...
Do you think that's worse than Night Creature? You out of your damn mind, bro?
Dude, Iron Mask was so chopped up. It was like...
Yeah, but at least
like,
things were happening on
like
screen,
having
a, bro.
An epileptic fit watching this movie.
Do you remember the thing in Night Creature was clearly a dog?
It was a house cat?
No, well, it was a dog for a lot of it.
Yeah.
Not enough that could be the thing you held on to make the thing funny. That's the key. It was just competent enough not to be funny, but not competent enough to be good in any way.
It was also like 40% stock footage of the Joker.
Yeah, or Donald Pleasance delivering weird monologues.
You've become so weirdly defensive that
you've
forgotten how fucking awful it is. I'm sorry to tell you, Night Creature, even though I hate 2025, Night Creature is far worse.
I have to rewatch it. I'm not.
You really think you're going to fucking rewatch it, Rahul? No, hand on your heart.
Definitely
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, if Lawrence can rewatch 2025, surely I can rewatch Night
Lawrence. Okay, sure. Yeah, that's
go for it. Have fun with that. Yeah. Tell me, come back and tell me that Iron Mask is the worst movie we've seen for this.
Yeah. Anyways, you guys want to get around to some Bad Time Radio trivia?
Yes.
Okay, so
trivia,
Yep. I've got, I think, 10 questions somewhere in there. And, you know, 1 point a question... And both of you get a chance to answer. So first off, what animal did Rahul repeatedly claim did not exist on our Superstition Be Hanged episode? Rahul, you're the man of the hour. What do you think?
Oh, my God. What would I say? God. Chupacabra?
Okay.
Which one was Superstition Be Hanged?
That was the one where it was like there was that curse where you had to have a bird feather, and then they didn't, so they all got hung.
Oh yeah, that was not a classic.
Yeah, I don't even remember that.
Remember, it was like the blood of a pigeon
And we had that whole bit about, like, I kept saying,
blood of a dog.
Yeah, I kept saying you should eat the feather over and over so it'd always be on you.
I'm like, bro, that would not work. Like, how long does it stay in your body if you eat the feather?
Yeah, but anyways, Rahul spent a lot of time denying an animal existed. And, wow, any idea?
I don't remember this one.
Are you sure it was me?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, who else would it be?
I'll give you a hint. He was doing it to troll me, and this is definitely a real animal.
Dogs?
That's a pretty good guess. That would annoy me a lot. Ronald, what do you think?
I'm guessing it's some kind of bird. I'm going to guess it's like a swan?
Nah, he denied the existence of Eohippus and other tiny prehistoric horses.
That's right. Because it kept being like, are you sure you just weren't looking at a big horse far away?
And I literally showed him one of, like, Eohippus next to a person. He's like, but it doesn't tell you how big the person is. And I'm like, it's in meters. And he's like, I don't know how big a meter is. Okay, neither one got it. Fair enough. Okay, two. Do waffles exist in Warhammer 40K? Ronald.
Do waffles exist?
Yes. This is a reference, of course, to our classic 40K or 40 No Way game, and Ronald has said yes. Rahul?
Oh, man. Now I'm trying to remember if we did this exact question.
I'm pretty sure we did.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, you both get a point. Waffles do indeed exist in Warhammer 40K. Yeah. At one point, Caiaphas Kane eats some with berries.
What are they called?
Waffles.
They're just called waffles.
Oh, they're just called waffles? Okay.
Yeah, I thought you were going to follow up with if what are they called?
Nope, they're just called fucking waffles.
Yeah, they're just called waffles, yep.
Okay, what incredible explanation for Albert Wesker's accent did Ronald once give? Rahul?
I know this one.
Here's a little sample. You should have brought more. That's how he sounds, kind of.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good.
Brought more. Did he have something in his mouth?
Do you want to say what it is in his mouth?
Okay. Poof. Okay, so if I were to metagame here.
Not really a meta
knowing
game,
it's Ronald. Man. Knowing Ronald.
I don't know how much that's going to help. you're like calculating every argument.
Yeah, I'm trying to calculate everything.
Yeah.
He's got a... dang, knowing Ronald, it's going to be some weird shit. I know
that. Yeah, definitely, bro.
Yeah.
It's actually just related to the movie, but...
It is weird, though.
It is weird, I guess. Not if you know the movie, though.
He has a tentacle in his mouth.
Ronald?
It's because he has the parasite in his mouth.
Yeah. He's just got a mouthful of tentacles, and he can't open it too much. Wider they'll get out. Okay. Rahul, what insane weight loss strategy did you once propose on a podcast?
I'm sure I proposed
God,
so
God, that
many,
only
though.
Happened one time? I'm positive at least prior to this year he has said the thing where I'm going to lose weight manually.
Leeching. I'm going to say leeching is my killer strategy for losing weight.
Ronald, you got a guess?
I don't have a guess for this one. I'm not sure what he said, but I'm sure it was insane.
He noted that quarks somehow weigh more than protons, and thus suggested removing them from all your protons.
Right.
Okay. Yep.
Was that a plug?
No, it was in Secrets of the Mindset Masters. I objected to because it's not really a mindset thing, among other issues.
I think Dan was on for that episode, so...
Yeah.
Got to experience that weirdness.
I wonder why... What was was there a different configuration of subatomic?
No.
No, you're just saying replace your protons with
no,
quarks.
there was some deeper thing here.
No, there wasn't. You're just like, get rid of your fucking quarks, dude. Yeah.
No, it was
we just didn't like get it, man.
I just don't think you two get it. Like there was a There was some quantum thing.
Definitely.
That's the weight loss strategy.
Basically, some any true thing. Scientist would have gotten it.
Yeah.
Well, a true physicist.
Yeah.
Not like a soft
a biologist
science.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking sociologist.
Ew. Come on. Oh, don't even say that word. Please bleep that. That was in 30 minutes exactly.
Yep.
Wow. A weirdly accurate time code. Considering how much Rahul loves to bedevil me, I'm kind of surprised. Yeah. Anyways, okay, Ronald, where does tea come from?
Where does what come from?
Tea.
Tea.
Wow, this is a tricky one.
Yeah, you've really gone hard on deep references from this.
Yeah, I'm regretting it a little bit.
But... No, I'm enjoying the references. I felt like I was going to be really good this year, and I'm not doing so hot. Where does tea come from?
This is an older one from, like, before. I'll give you that. Anyways.
And what? What were you going to say?
Well, no, nothing else. That's the only thing I'm giving. It's an old one.
I don't know this one. I'm going to have to pass to Rahul.
Rahul, where does tea come from?
There is a man with a red
a
satchel.
Man.
In that satchel, there's a construct that makes tea.
Yep, I think that's it.
Pretty good. Now, the way where tea comes from is there's a magic dragon sleeping underground, and its eyelashes grow up through the ground.
Oh, it's Iron Mask.
Yeah.
Iron Mask.
But then if you don't trim its eyelashes, they get too heavy and it goes to sleep and somehow that kills the tea.
Oh my That's god, I did not remember that.
Yeah, I just totally That's forgot. I honestly kind of remember that fable, but I forgot that it was related to tea for some reason.
What great.
Wait, did they not have tea? Did they not have tea throughout that movie?
The tea wasn't as good because the dragon was asleep. Oh, and then at the end, it also turned out that there wasn't a dragon, except there was.
Yeah,
was
there absolutely good. Was a dragon.
The dragon was all of China, but then it also flew overhead.
And its eyelashes were tea. Yeah.
And its eyelashes were tea. So it's like, wait, so was the tea thing real? Or?
Now, okay, I think that you guys have a shot at this one. Rahul, what 70s actor did we propose should play a giant leech in the... episode The Horror of Dead Lake?
Man, 70s actor? Fuck, I don't know 80s actors.
Here, I'll give you a little bit of a hint.
He did a really good impression.
Yeah, I'll give you a little taste of that impression. Hey, get over here. I wanna suck ya.
I have no idea. Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi?
The one time I don't do a Lugosi accent.
God damn it.
Ronald?
I believe it was Sir Burt Reynolds.
Hell yeah.
Oh, damn the shame. It's killing me.
Now, this next one's going to be great because it's got so much potential to be hurtful. What's the grossest thing Lawrence ever admitted to eating on an episode?
Oh. God, I can't even remember how many times you've said disgusting things on here.
Yep, it's a great spot to be.
What was it? I feel like there was something.
There was something those
that you like mixed
bad.
In a jar. Yeah, God, I know it's on the tip of my brain.
Raul, you want to take a run at it?
God. I'm gonna go with. Oh, jeez. I'm gonna go with spoiled milk. I know it's not spoiled milk, but I feel like it was adjacent to that.
I'm gonna give you half a point, actually. So there were two correct answers for this. First off, I think that all the like massive number of chicken bones I talk about on the second Resident Evil podcast.
I don't think that's really gross as much as it is just what the hell.
Confusing.
The aftermath is pretty gross. Although Lawrence claims that there is no aftermath.
The imagined aftermath. Because for some reason that's
me
all
just shitting
about.
Out my perforated intestines.
Yeah, how is there no aftermath?
I don't know. And yet there isn't. But the other one was that one time when I was making myself vegetables in the air fryer and accidentally poured all the grease from the grease.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that was it. Because I was like, I was imagining just like some disgusting mixture of things. And it's just mélange. Like fucking grease.
Yeah.
A grease mélange.
Now, the scores now stand at Rahul 2.5, Ronald 3.
But whoa, to be fair, you said it didn't taste gross and it actually tasted good.
But I mean, obviously, it's also disgusting because I mean, the shade.
It's pretty vile. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's a special bonus round, which is I'm going to tag in, and Rahul, you have to tell us the answer. We're going to guess the answer to this next question, which is, and that question is, did Rahul ever finish Highlander? I'm going to say no. I don't think he finished Highlander. Ronald, do you think he finished Highlander?
Oh, did he ever finish Highlander?
God damn it.
You know what? I don't think he did. I'm going to agree with Lawrence. I'm pretty sure he did not.
Rahul, did you finish Highlander?
I don't think he knows.
I don't know.
I'm going to go ahead and give us both a point.
God, yeah, Ronald's fucking peanut gallery over here. Hey, he knows. My God. If we were jousting, I would challenge you.
It only annoyed you because you knew I was right before I said it.
Yeah, it pisses me off. I remember, like, nothing.
Unpredictable.
Like, literally nothing. Like, they were fighting in a parking garage. I remember that.
You liked the first half.
That was you and that guy from Target. Yeah. While you were watching the movie.
You're trying to watch out of your phone and you bump into a guy and suddenly you're in an all-out brawl.
You just like conflated the two things.
Yeah, that does happen a lot.
Okay, on what episode was Lawrence falsely and slanderously accused of being attracted to gamers?
Oh, that had to be 2025.
Rahul, what did you think?
I have no idea. I'm gonna say Resident Evil 5.
Nope, it was 2025. Oh,
it was the hacker girl that he was fucking in love with.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know who was it that called you attracted to gamers?
It was Ronald, but then Rahul quickly picked up the torch.
I see. I made the initial comment, and then, of course, Rahul never let it go.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Okay, what game did Lawrence attempt to buy a strategy guide off of Amazon for in 1995 and never received the book? Ronald or Rahul, would you like to go first or second?
Rahul can go first, because I know it.
Yeah, I'll go first. Yeah, it was something your dad threw it away, and you never knew that your dad threw it away.
That's just the story you made up.
Yeah. And it also isn't the name of the game, so it doesn't answer.
No, no, I'm just trying to jog my own memory.
That's not what happened.
No. I remember his dad was really pissed, and he just like started hitting Lawrence with a shovel.
And then I died, and he buried me in a pet cemetery, and that's why I'm evil Lawrence now.
Yep. Oh,
I'll give you a hint. The game featured live FMV segments from both Laura Linney and Joe Don Baker.
Wow, live PIV segments?
No, FMV, full motion video, where they like recorded. Yeah, they got
PIV.
Yeah, they got POV shots where you're Joe Don Baker and you do it with Laura Linney. And a lot of it is you looking down at your enormous gut.
I'd be okay with that.
Oh, man. I love that you, like, you know, you're such an optimist that you think I know who these people are.
Okay, spent a lot of the game running away from gorillas.
That's just, you're giving it away, man.
Donkey Kong?
Apparently I'm not. It was go Ronald.
Yeah, it was Congo, the Lost City of Zinj.
No!
I think Rahul knew it, but...
Okay, what film made Ronald so angry that he had to be told not to shout into the microphone when discussing it? And the first half of his, and a lot of his audio from the like first quarter of the episode is kind of unlistenable.
Was that this year?
What's that?
Was that this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Was that movie?
It had to be 2025.
I don't think it was. Because I remember listening to this one and my audio was all fucked up.
Huh.
I think it was earlier.
Wait. Didn't you say it was this year, though, Lawrence?
Yeah, it's this year.
Yeah, but 2025 is also, like March.
Your audio is also super fucked up on something in the water, but That's not because you were angry.
Gotcha.
Well, the only movie we did before 2025 was Poseidon.
Oh, really?
Ronald just screaming about what's his name? Eric. Damn it. He just died, too. It's real sad. The feller from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Andre Brower. Oh, he's like, Brower. Andre Brower should have gotten Fergie's permission before he kissed her. Just shouting.
Huh.
Wait, what?
Andre Brower kissed. Yeah, he kisses Fergie when they realize they're both going to die.
Oh, yeah. He was the captain. El Capitan.
Yeah. El Capitan. Rest in peace. It was a movie?
Yeah, I swear it's a movie.
Huh. I guess Poseidon. I don't know.
Nah, it's 2025, man.
All right.
You were like doing that thing where you like shout into it and it starts cutting out, kind of.
I actually think it was because I had the wrong mic input, sadly.
You were also pretty mad, though.
Well, yeah, I was also yelling, but I think my normal mic wouldn't cut out like that.
Yeah. Okay. Ronald,
we'll
what
get
game?
The point for that one, by the way.
Yeah. What game nearly broke the podcast?
What game?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what game it was. It was the Saw game.
Yep.
Saw Trap game.
I'm sorry. I've got to give, I'm giving Rahul the point too, because I kind of cut him off. Rahul, just guess though. Pretend you don't know what
I was going to guess Boss of the Gym, but that doesn't even make sense. So, I don't
know. But I mean, in another way, it's completely right.
Yeah, I proposed a Saw Trap for Ronald, where I claimed that he liked a specific type of pornography that I have absolutely no reason to think he actually likes, and I was doing it to annoy him.
And then there's
a pretty good in for it. Yeah. The man loves appliances.
No,
I know. What can I say?
Lawrence and I are what is it called? Responsibility buddies, where. Yeah. We have that system set up where it texts the other person exactly what porn they look at.
But the thing is, most of the time we're just like, we text it back like, excellent choice, dude. That looks hot. Oh, shit. Send me a link, dude. That looks awesome.
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible finish.
The best balls in the business.
The best balls in the biz, bro. Oh, man, that is good.
Yeah. Okay, what noble animal did the arch-traitor Rahul use to trick Lawrence, who is only trusting his friend, into committing an act of vandalism?
The arch-traitor Rahul?
Yep.
What animal did the arch-traitor Rahul use to trick Lawrence?
Who is only trusting his friend into committing an act of vandalism.
Oh, well, oh my god, dude, that you even consider that being tricked is just ludicrous.
Okay,
we've been over this so many times, you know?
What animal?
Like, okay, if I was like, oh, look at that bald eagle, it pecks people's eyes out, you'd be like, oh, I'll do that. Like, what?
What animal?
A bear.
Ronald, what do you think?
Yeah, it was a bear to break into a car.
You cannot hold me accountable for that.
I'm not holding you accountable. I'm just playing funny.
You hold double accountable for the sins of man.
I'm not holding anyone accountable. I'm just playing a fun game with my friends. Okay. The scores are Lawrence 1, Rahul 5.5, and Ronald 8. I have a special bonus, though.
Okay.
So just on what episode did we spend a weirdly long time talking about Horse Cave, Kentucky, which is home to a beautiful cave and the world's first air-conditioned tennis courts?
Wow.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Fuck it. It's disturbing the peace. That's fine.
I was going to say it's disturbing the peace, but Rahul wasn't on that one.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't going to count that towards the total anyways. I just thought it was very funny that we got so bored that we played. I just literally started reading the town's Wikipedia page.
Okay, but the sad part about that was they did not show the cave.
They didn't.
They filmed on scene, or they filmed like in the city. Like, most of the movie is just that town, but they didn't show the fucking cave.
It seems like they really should have fucking...
decision.
Yeah. You've got this incredible set, and then you just don't.
I guess
don't
they
use
just
it.
Wanted to finish filming in, like, 2 hours.
Yeah. Anyways, you guys, I was thinking we could do a quick lightning round of the title game.
Let's do it.
So this, as everyone, or as people may know, one of the like joys of our podcast is that for every title, I just pick some random thing someone said on the episode that I thought was funny, and then I make that the title. And you know what? So the titles frequently have nothing whatsoever to do with the episode. So in this game, I'm going to say the title, and I want you to just try to guess what it's on.
All right.
And it obviously, like, for, especially for the old time radio ones, I don't expect you to like remember what the episode
name
was.
Of the episode.
Yeah, just so just a very brief summary.
Deal.
So first off, just begging for a Terminator.
Just begging for a Terminator. Is this only this year?
Yep.
I don't know this one.
Ron or Rahul?
Oh man. This year, I'm gonna go. I don't know if XXX.
Now, this was Prometheus.
Oh, what?
Yeah, you read it at one point. You described the movie as just begging for. No, I think it was where we were talking about whether it was better to be enslaved by or to enslave apes or robots. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, angle a three-way with our Lord.
Angle a three-way with our Lord. That's got to be 2025, yeah.
Yep. I think we're going to do buzz-in rules now, though.
Okay,
deal.
Yeah, going forward. And try to. And I think I'm probably going to put in a little bit of a timer, too.
Okay.
So, next up, the nemesis of the chicken world. Hit me.
Oh, fuck. I don't know which one it is. Resident Evil 2?
Yep.
Oh,
that's the one with Nemesis. What's the one with Nemesis?
Yeah, that's the second one. Okay.
Because Lawrence was the nemesis of the chicken world.
Okay. Next up, the clarity and power of homoeroticism.
Clarity and power of homoeroticism. I mean,
yeah.
Tango and Cash?
Yeah. You're kind of wrong.
I mean, it's got to be, right? Like, that's the most homoerotic movie I've maybe ever seen.
Okay. Next up, The Ballad of Lucky Larry.
Oh, that is a classic one. Rahul, you got a guess?
Oof, no, dude.
Larry. I mean,
Yeah.
That's Poseidon, right?
Yeah. Because yeah. I decided to summarize it as if Lucky Larry was the main
Lucky
character.
Lucky Larry was like a minor character that you just did the...
Yeah.
He was like just a real asshole and abused
some
women.
Yeah, he was an asshole, then... He died.
An asshole who was, but he was enthused about being the asshole.
Yeah.
So, and that charmed me for some reason. Okay.
He didn't mostly make it through until the end.
Nah, he died within like the first 30 minutes, dude.
I thought he made it towards the end.
The gangplank thing.
Yeah. They're like, hey, don't try to cross that. It's going to collapse. And he's like, fuck you. I beat the odds every day. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm Lucky Larry. And then he died instantly. Okay. Next up, my crime is playing Donkey Kong. And for this one, since the context has very little to do with the with what the episode is, if you tell me the context, that's good too.
Crime is playing Donkey Kong. Was that the Saw game? Was that the Saw game?
Yeah.
Because there's something...
Rahul decided to punish you for playing Donkey Kong by making you play it for real.
That's right. I had to jump over barrels. And...
Okay, classic. Next up, Tested by the Box.
Oh. Go ahead, Rahul. You have a second.
Fuck, I already forgot.
You know.
Dune. Beep, Dune.
Yeah. Okay, and let's do one last one for all the fucking marbles. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Any degree of tumescence.
Oh, this is a little unfair because I just edited this one.
Let's do a different one then. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. These clones ain't loyal.
Oh, I don't know which one though. Well, I have a guess. Rahul, you can guess first.
All right. I guess RE5.
I don't think so. Resident Evil 1.
Yeah. Because we're just talking about how insane it is that it turns out that everyone in that movie is a clone. Okay.
To be fair to Rahul, I actually listen to the episodes and he does not.
Although on the other hand, against Rahul, a lot of these are things that he said.
Well, shit. Why do I say so much stuff, dude?
Somebody shut me up.
I'm so annoying.
I love you, Rahul. Okay.
These clones ain't loyal.
So anyways, you guys want to do top threes next or Ronald's game? I was kind of thinking top threes to break up the games, but I could be persuaded otherwise.
Yeah, let's do top threes.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So I had everyone make some top threes lists. I don't think we're going to do regular recommendations and cautions because these will suffice for that. But yeah. So books first, I think. Anyone got a top threes of books aside from me? Obviously, people had to sit out some categories.
Yeah, I do. Now, I'm not sure if I actually read this last year or not. I might have.
Powerful.
It's awkward. All right. Number one is The Terror.
Hell yeah.
Which was just, it's just so good. Really ruins your life. Did I read
ruins
that?
Ruins your life, huh?
I think so.
I think
the very least, it came out on you recommended it on an episode that came out this year, I think. This would be The Terror by Dan Simmons, right? Detailing the fate of a failed Arctic expedition in like the 1840s that ends up, runs afoul of a supernatural entity.
Yeah.
Classic.
I love the pause.
Yeah,
it's like, is that what it was?
No, because then I was trying to remember when I read the Hyperion Contest, and I think it was after, because I got into Dan Simmons after that, or was it, did I switch the order? Not sure.
Doesn't really matter, man.
Number two is Hyperion Contest. Dan Simmons is killing it. He's
Hell
so
yeah.
good.
He has the clicky Rahul demographic.
He has one issue though, which is he has a thing for making like super young women fall for older guys in his books. I think that's him writing himself in, but otherwise the books are fantastic.
That's how you would do it too.
Yeah, it would be more like crayon scribbling on a page.
No one else could read it because it'd be like half Latin that isn't real Latin.
Yep. And the number three thing on my list is really enjoyed Cradle, the books I've read so far.
Oh, yeah.
That's
like recency bias,
Yeah, possibly. But you know what? Whatever.
Who's the author on those?
They're just Will White.
Okay.
They're just fun, you know? Like, no one's going to call them amazingly well-written. Certainly not on the level of Dan Simmons or anything. But it's just like, how do I describe it? It's just like candy, you know? It's just like,
it's very, very consumable.
Yeah, yes.
They just
like
go down smooth.
They really
it's
do.
Just like, it's just like all the epic stuff about fantasy, just, you know, put together into a book. Yeah, that's it for me.
I'm going to go next. My top threes are one, The Hollows by Daniel Church, which is a horror novel about a small, like, English community coming under attack by, well, it starts as like them investigating a weird murder, and then things keep spiraling and spiraling and spiraling. Nothing in it is once it's unexpected, because you kind of don't expect it to escalate the way it does, but by about halfway through you can kind of guess most things that are going to happen. But it is, the details are very well executed, and it's mostly interested in delivering these monster emotional notes, which it's incredibly good at doing. So there were multiple times during it where I was like tearing up, or like really angry, or just like super proud of a character or something. And, you know, I read books mostly because I want to like feel stuff and have interesting stories. And this has an interesting story and made me feel a bunch. So it's my pick for the best one. Next up, Ogres by Adrian Tykovsky, which is a novella. I recommended it. Actually, that episode hasn't come out yet. So there's this world where it seems like it's about like a, you know, person who's living in an idyllic English like farming village, except their landlord is an ogre. And then he gets into a violent confrontation with the landlord's son. And after that, he kind of goes off into the wider world and discovers like why things are the way they are. And it like starts as like this like arch satire, but slowly turns into this like piece of absolute fury. And it's got this incredible twist at the end that I I'd never seen the like before, so I was impressed by it. And finally, Lost Girl by Adam Neville, which is about a man hunting for his girl, little girl, who was kidnapped in the midst of the 2050s, when the world is really, climate change has gotten pretty out of control, and the world is about to end within like the next 6 months or year or so. Very grim, very hard to read. It's sort of a supernatural horror book too, and it's the rare book where the supernatural horror elements are kind of a relief, because it's like, oh, this weird demon thing, and I know how to deal with that, as opposed to like the end of the world. So yeah. And then an honorable mention for Cold Moon Over Babylon by Michael McDowell, which is just a very well-done gothic horror. Yeah, that's it for me. Ronald?
Nice. Yeah, so my three recommendations, pretty recent, all three of them. And I think I've maybe already recommended these on the pod, so I'm not going to go too into them. But number one of this year was Swan Song by Robert R. McCammon. This is actually a gift to me from Lawrence for last Christmas. That I didn't get around to reading until November, but this was an excellent book. I mean, Robert R. McCammon, he reminds me of like a more interesting Stephen King, Stephen King's great. I like a lot of his stuff, but like Robert R. McCammon goes a little crazier with it. But he's got a similar style, I feel like, and it's the similar kinds of conflicts of good and evil, especially in Swan Song. Very much reminded me, Swan Song very much harkens to The Stand, but was a lot more interesting than The Stand, and I feel like had a better ending, even though both of the, I didn't think the Swan Song's ending was the best. It was a lot better than The Stand's. Second was a whole series of Cradle. It's very short. I read it, all 12 books in like 2 weeks. Each book is only a couple hours when you say Rahul. Like, they don't take very long.
Yeah. Think like 3 or 4 hours.
So I'd say like the series is kind of like one book. Like Rahul said, not the best writing, but I really enjoyed it. It's basically like an anime, but like in book form, and it's like pretty well done. I like the characters all right, and just the concepts were really fun, and it was just like so easy to read, and it was really interesting, and it kept me hooked. And then number three was Aching God by Mike Schell. I didn't end up liking the rest of the series very much on this one, but I really liked the first book. And I think it was Mike Schell's first book. And it was kind of interesting. It was like a reckoning of like, what if gods were real, and like, what would that even mean? And like, how would we worship, and like, how would that affect our belief in God? If we knew that they were real, kind of an interesting idea for like a fantasy book. It was also just like kind of horror and a lot of body horror, which was really interesting. I think where it kind of diverted from that was when it got not as good, but I still quite liked Aching God by Mike Schell. That was my top three for the year.
Hell yeah. Oh, and I've got a bonus one, which is just, I'm going to rattle off the top three 40K books I read this year.
Okay.
Because fuck you guys. First off, Assassinorium Kingmaker by Robert Rath. Three assassins are tasked with managing the order of succession on a night planet that seems like it might be trying to secede from the Imperium. And they uncover a dastardly plot, and there's a lot of cool action and weird shit that you don't normally see in a 40K book. And Robert Rath is a hell of an author, and he wrote The Fall of Cadia, and I'm looking forward to reading that book. And that next is Celestine, the Living Saint by Andy Clark, which is half a pretty standard Warhammer book where Celestine lands on a planet and she like inspires everyone and fights really good and leads them all to victory. But the other half is a 40K retelling of Pilgrim's Progress, which is nuts. Like, it's her and the warp going on this like completely allegorical journey to reclaim her life so that she can prove she's worthy to the Emperor and go to fight again. And that's such a strange choice that I have to respect it. And I liked reading it. And finally, the Watchers of the Throne duology, which are The Emperor's Legion and The Regent's Shadow by Chris Raitt, which deal with the Null Maidens and the Adeptus, Custodes, navigating the time immediately before and after the return of Roboot Gilliman, and are just a hell of a time. And the audiobooks, at least, are a third narrated by Emma Gregory, who I really like. And I think that Aaliyah Tanua is a great character for her, that she does a great job of almost not just reading, but like acting out. Yeah. So anyways, those are the three best 40K books I read, except technically they're four because the duology is two books. Anyways, now let's do movies.
All right.
Yeah.
Ronald, what's the best three movies you saw this year?
Okay. So these are movies that I saw this year that didn't necessarily... There's one movie in here that I saw this year that didn't necessarily come out this year. And then I have two movies that that actually did come out this year. So the first movie didn't actually come out this year, but I watched it this year. The Birds. And it's an Alfred Hitchcock movie. It's the first time I'd seen it. Really excellent classic horror. And it got me on a whole tear of watching a bunch of older movies, which I don't usually do. Like if it's pre like 1970, I usually don't. I haven't like seen that much from that era. But I did try to broaden my horizons a little bit, and I did watch some. I ended up watching some really good movies. I watched a couple of Hitchcock movies. I watched The Treasure of Sierra Leone. I watched a couple other things. I'm having trouble remembering all of them. But
The Treasure of the Sierra Leone or The Treasure of the Sierra Madre?
I think maybe Sierra Madre.
Is it the one where it's Humphrey Bogart?
Yeah, Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, it's such a good movie.
Yeah, classic. Sorry, I messed up the name.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, Treasure of Sierra Madre, the one where they're digging for gold. Also an excellent movie, but not on my list this year. The Birds is still quite creepy. And the way that it's shot, I don't know, it was still very effective to me. I didn't really find the birds themselves that scary, but just like the situation, the setup that Hitchcock did, the long shots that he does, I actually really quite liked. And I think still really work. It's very different from like the way a modern horror is shot. Obviously a lot of people were inspired by him for a long time, but I feel like they've kind of probably diverged because it was overdone. But it's interesting to go back to it and see like how Hitchcock like filmed those movies. Okay. And then number two on my list did come out this year, a movie called Blackberry. This movie has Glenn Howerton starring as like the business mogul who like ran the BlackBerry company, which is the company that made the old smartphones, pretty much some of the original smartphones. And this was a really good movie. It was the second movie made by what's his name, Matt. The guy from Nirvana, the band, the show, Matthew Johnson. This is the second movie he's done, and both of the movies he's done were really good. It was Glenn Howerton had like a really mastercraft performance in this. Definitely check this one out if you're interested. It's only like a 90-minute movie, very easy to watch, and I quite liked it. It's like a biopic, so it kind of like follows the same kind of formula as a lot of these kind of movies do. So it's not like groundbreaking in that sense, but I think that the performances were really good and it was just funny. But it was also like stressful at times, and I had a good time with it. Number one movie this year I saw in theaters and maybe the scariest movie of all time for me, Skinamarink, which was directed by, what's his name? Something Ball.
Wait, you saw that in theaters?
I did.
What was the crowd like? Were they freaking out or laughing?
Neither. There was like Kyle Edward Ball. There was like five people in the theater when I went. Most of them seemed pissed off when they left. I don't think this movie is for everyone. Well, it's definitely not for everyone, but it did not seem like a lot of people necessarily really enjoyed it when I went. And I think that this is like for a lot of reasons. This movie was like really hyped up, at least in a certain crowd. And it's a very tough movie to watch. It's really slow. It's very, very brutal. It's not fair to the characters. It's also like a lot of times out of focus and you can't really hear always what's going on. So it's like a tough movie. It's to do for like whatever 100 minutes long it is. I think Kyle Edward Ball had mostly done shorts up to now. And so moving his transition to feature film, some people, like, I think maybe a valid criticism. I don't personally find this, but a lot of people criticize the fact that this movie should have been 15 minutes long and like that was enough. I think the fact that it was so long and brutal really added to the terror for me. This was a really horrifying movie. It was stuck in my head for most of the year. And still stands to me as like one of the best horror movies I've seen. I know it's not for everyone. If you didn't like it, that's fine. But
so the out of focus and muffled stuff, that was intentional?
That is a directorial choice, yes. Okay.
It's also filmed on like this very specific kind of video, like actual videotape that produces like a heavy amount of artifacting to the point where it's like often kind of hard to make out what's going on, and there's like a lot of static on the soundtrack. It's a very like intentionally odd looking movie. Like there's a reason I keep posting like that weird photo of like dank indiscernible spaces in my bedroom and claiming I'm about to get skinamaraked.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you.
You should at least watch a clip from it, just so you know what it's like. It's intentionally obfuscating what's going on to make you more feel like out of place and like you don't know why this is happening just the way that the kids don't. The fact that this is happening to kids, I think, also makes it incredibly, incredibly brutal. It's so unfair to everyone in the movie's universe. I don't know. It really stuck with me. I think this is an excellent, excellent movie. It's weird. It's bizarre, but I really quite liked it. So can't recommend it enough. If that sounds at all interesting to you.
Hell yeah.
It's so funny how unfairness in any situation, even movies, sticks in your mind.
Right.
It just really bothers you.
Most of the time in like a narrative, right? Like there's got to be like some way that the main characters can figure something out.
Yeah, that's why I don't like horror, because I feel like a lot of times there's no good rules that they can figure out and it feels unfair. And I'm like, why am I watching this? You know?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, that's like part of the frustration of that, I think.
It's deeply frustrating.
Yeah.
I've been kind of thinking about that a lot, actually, because I read a lot of horror, and unfairness is like a pretty big part of horror. And a lot of like classic horror short stories end with the main character like irretrievably fucked, often because they either did nothing wrong at all or because of such a minor decision, like mistake, that it doesn't make sense, you know, like. There's a Shirley Jackson short story called The Summer People, where literally all the people do to get killed is they decide that they'd like to stay in their summer home a week longer, and that's against the unspoken rules of the village, right? Shit like that.
Yeah.
And you'll take it in a short story, I think, because you have like less time to hang out with the characters, right?
Yeah.
And in a movie, you'll take it about 50% of the time, I think. You have enough time to get to know the characters, kind of, but not so much that, you know, you've invested so much time in not having like that kind of conclusion. But a novel with a downer ending, especially if it's a downer ending where it's just like the character just wakes up and realizes how fucked they are and screams or something, that can fly in a short story, no problem. In a movie, maybe, but you will not accept it in the novel, basically, or at least I won't, right? Because of the amount of time, kind of, almost.
You know, I don't think I've ever read a book that had that was unfair, you know, and, like I would just never.
Here's the weird twist, though. If you have the character just wake up and scream, that's an unsatisfying ending for a novel. But if you have them kind of weirdly like accept their fate and like get a moment of grace from it, suddenly it becomes kind of okay almost. And I wonder why, because they're functionally the same thing. Like there's a novel, Little Heaven, that ends with the main character as fucked as anyone's been, but he's kind of like examining a sunrise and reflecting on how wonderful it is, even though he won't get to experience too many of them, and knowing that his kid's safe because of what he did, even if he's fucked forever. And it reads as like joyous almost, but I mean, I could write the exact same thing without him thinking those thoughts. Nothing else has changed, and it would be unbearably cruel. And I just wonder why that little moment of like reflection or grace matters so much. I don't know.
We're putting ourselves in their shoes, and we're like, I want something out of this.
Yeah.
You know,
like if life has no meaning, or if this story doesn't have a meaning, then how is life supposed to?
Yeah. Anyways, enough of my own butt. I've got some movies to tell you guys about. My top three movies of the year. First of all, Godzilla Minus One. New Godzilla movie. Incredible. So good. The human plotline, great. But more importantly, the Godzilla City Rampage. There's only one, which is a little bit of a bummer, but it's the best there's ever been, maybe. It's up there. 2, Nightcrawler. Jake Gyllenhaal uses a bunch of self-help stuff to just like get to the top of the scummiest business in the world of crime scene photography for the news, of trying to get the goriest photos he can so they can juice their ratings by making white people scared. And he has absolutely no conscience and a self-help mantra where his soul should be. And it is electrifying to watch him just get the better of everyone by virtue of there's levels that they won't sink to and there is nothing he won't do. And finally, the brawl in Cell Block 99, an S. Craig Zoller joint about a man who goes to prison for being too decent. And then once he's in prison, he starts having to beat the hell out of people because he's being forced to. And it's another one that it has a weird ending too, kind of down or kind of not. But in terms of just S. Craig Zoller filming a bulked out Vince Vaughn beating the absolute shit out of people, very fun. Okay. Anyways, I'm going to say we should do one last category each so we can get to the game and still have some good time. Okay. So do you guys want to, like, does everyone have games? I also have songs/albums. Which do you think we'd rather do?
I did games, but I guess, like, everyone can pick their own thing.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do songs/albums because I don't think people need to hear me say that Baldur's Gate 3 is good. Fair?
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Okay, and also these are songs, not albums, because I don't listen to albums. So the three songs I discovered this year that I liked the best are O Susquehanna by a sort of folk punk band called Defiance Ohio, Old Time Memory by Mischief Brew, and Northwest Passage by Unleash the Archers, which is a metal cover of a Stan Rogers folk song. Northwest Passage by Unleash the Archers is incredible, taking a fairly boring folk song and turning it into this like weird, like, joyful power anthem shit. And that's the one you should, check out the other two too, but that is definitely the one to check out. Anyways, Ronald, what do you got for us?
Okay. I got games. I will say that my number one is Baldur's Gate. I also think that it's kind of uninteresting, but it's unfair to not put it at number one. A fantastic game that came out this year. I think pretty much everyone knows about it, so I'm not going to go into it too much here. Number two, this may be some recency bias, but I've been playing this a lot and I really enjoy it, is Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2. It's like a Smash-like game that just came out like a month or two ago. Great game. I've been playing as Mecha Plankton, which is really funny. And they've got like voice lines in it that are pretty humorous, and I just enjoy the characters and I've been having a lot of fun with it. So Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2 is my number two game of the year. And then number three, this game did not come out this year, but I played it this year. Fantastic time. Highly recommend The Outer Wilds. One of the strangest and like most interesting games I've ever played. Didn't take me too long. It's mostly a puzzle game. Probably beat it in like 12 hours or so. Mostly a puzzle game, and it's like got a lot of crazy stuff like weird gravity physics, and it's kind of investigating like why there's a supernova in your solar system, and there's like a time loop element, so it like the star supernova is like every 12, like after like 15 minutes of in-game time, and then the whole thing resets and you get to like investigate again, but like you can slowly build up your knowledge as you keep doing it. This is a little bit of a spoiler, so I'm sorry if I ruined the premise of the game, because when you first start playing, you don't necessarily know the star is going to supernova. And so like my first playthrough, I'm like, what the hell? And the whole world just blow up. So it's a little bit of a spoiler, but if that gets you into the game, it's worth it. This is a great game to check out. Outer Wilds from 2019. That's it for me.
Yeah. Anyways, worst of the year? I have two. I don't know. You guys want to even do that? Jesus fucking Christ.
Worst of the year.
I don't have anything, but I would love to hear yours.
So the worst book I read was Stolen Tongues by Felix Blackwell, which is a book that starts incredibly strong in the first chapter. It's expanded from an internet creepypasta, and you can reading that first chapter that is just the creepypasta a little bit, mostly, you can understand why people like kickstarted it and thought that it would be a good idea to like expand this into a book. But he just didn't know how to make it into a book, and it gets very repetitive and shitty after a while.
Was that his book?
Yeah. I think he's written short stories before, but never a novel. And they're different. You have to structure things a lot different, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't get the escalation right, so the scariest stuff happens about halfway through the book. Or, well, actually, the scariest stuff happens in the first chapter, and the stuff that's probably supposed to be the scariest happens about halfway through. And then the final revelation of like why the thing is targeting the girl is so lame. It turns out she repressed a memory that no one on earth would repress. And it's dumb. And then Swallowed is the worst movie. That's the one where they're like, they have to swallow something to get it, like smuggle drugs across the Canadian border. And it turns out that the things they're swallowing are alive. And one, something goes wrong and one of them ends up stuck inside the guy and it like starts hatching. And you think it's going to be so much better, but then it turns into just kind of a low grade thriller where like a gay feller and a young gay feller are stuck in a cabin and the young gay feller is trying to use his sexuality to get the old gay feller to let him go. And it's not very good. Although it does star the guy who was in Nightmare on Elm Street 2. And that movie's kind of like got a really weird relationship with homosexuality where it's like intensely gay, but also seems to hate gay people. And it kind of destroyed his career. So it's nice to see him back in movies, but that movie sucked.
Silver Linings.
Yeah. Anyways. Okay. Anyone else got worsts?
Yeah. I thought the final episode of House of Usher actually is my worst for the year because I feel like it undermined what was otherwise a really great show. I feel like it took it in a direction that I didn't want or that wasn't set up to be at all.
Rahul, I hate to say this, but this does kind of reinforce your never finish anything policy,
it
right?
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. You can never be disappointed by the ending if you never experience it. Anyways, okay, and let's do the game finally and then get out of here. What do you guys say?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got a game for us.
We would like to play a game.
Yeah. So I got Villain versus the Sitcom. I just came up with three because we pretty much used up a lot of villains in sitcom. So who wants to go first?
Why don't you go first?
I don't want to go first. You go first, Lawrence.
Okay. Yeah. Rahul goes first.
All right. Ready, Rahul? You get Megatron versus Lucille Bluth.
Who wins? Megatron versus Lucille Bluth.
Yeah.
Well, Megatron comes down to Earth and he's monologuing. And he's like, bring me your leader. And Lucille Bluth is already there. And, you know, she needs some work for Bluth Corporation. So she's like, I'm the leader. So it's like 30 minutes of Lucille Bluth haranguing Megatron. And, you know, he just can't take it. So he gives over all his construction contracts to Lucille Bluth. And he just leaves because Megatron has feelings, and Lucille Bluth knows how to take advantage of him.
She is very mean.
She also, she could vet.
Yeah, she could try challenging him to a drinking contest as well.
I suspect Megatron will win that one, but
you think so?
Their bodies can't actually process alcohol,
so he just explodes after one shot, and then the Transformers are like, "Why didn't we think of that?"
Huh. Okay. Yeah, that was a pretty straightforward one.
All right. Okay. What do you got?
I'm going to give you the option here.
Uh-huh.
Would you rather do Smaug from Lord of the Rings or from The Hobbit versus Urkel from Family Matters or King Kong versus Peter Griffin?
I think I'm going to do King Kong versus Peter Griffin because I have at least seen episodes of Family Guy, even if I kind of regret having done so.
Okay.
So the way I see this going around is Peter Griffin is just going off on one of his weird adventures. Maybe he's accidentally had sex with Meg or whatever the fuck they do in later, like season. Of
Did that happen?
And then I probably
which episode?
Did they show it? Because I bought that uncensored movie and they had the picture of him and Lois in the background in the bathtub on the back, and I thought they were going to show stuff. Then they didn't.
Oh, come on.
Come on, man. What's even the point?
Anyways, so he's like, this reminds me of that time when I was trying to steal the treasure from Smaug. And then there's going to be a classic Family Guy cutaway. And Smaug's going to be like, I smell someone in my lair. Someone who stinks of cheap beer and fried food, I think. Lawrence doesn't remember Family Guy as well as he used to. And Peter Griffin's going to be like, yeah, that's me. That's me. Fuck it. I can't do the voice. So I'm not going to try. And then Smaug's going to be like, well, let's enter into a game of riddles. And Peter Griffin's going to be like, okay. And Smaug's going to be like, okay, tell me who you are. And Peter Griffin's going to be like, I'm Peter Griffin. And then Smaug's going to be like, that's a terrible riddle. There's no like allusion to it. Nothing. And then he's going to just eat Smaug. And here's the twist. When they cut back away from the cutaway brag, there's just going to be a pile of blood on the ground because Smaug actually killed Peter in the cutaway gag. And then the episode's going to proceed as usual, except without Peter. And Peter's never going to show up on Family Guy again because that was the one cutaway gag that was real. And he just got eaten by Smaug.
So you're saying in this unlikely matchup, somehow Smaug is able to take down the ultimate Peter Griffin.
Yeah, by just eating him.
Huh.
As you'd expect.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would expect that.
Power Scalers knew this like years ago.
Yeah, they really should have. Peter should have waited before they put in the 1.5 patch and nerfed Smaug before he tried that cutaway gag.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyways, what do you got?
Okay, I got Smaug, or you did Smaug versus Peter Griffin, but you're supposed to do King Kong versus Peter Griffin, but that's okay. So I'll do King Kong versus Urkel.
Oh, wait, I got it wrong. Fuck.
It doesn't really matter. I just picked three. You matched them up.
In my last one that King Kong had just stepped on. No, I'll do King Kong. It would have largely been the same.
I'll do King Kong. Yeah, for some reason, King Kong asked Peter Griffin to do a riddle, I guess.
No, he would have just stepped on. They would have tried to sacrifice him to, like, King Kong, like they did with Fay Wray.
Okay, I'll do King Kong versus Urkel, okay?
Okay.
So Urkel is like, hey guys, look what I made. And it's like this ship. And they're like, Urkel, how the hell did you get all the resources for that? And he's like, and he never explains it. But then he goes out on the ocean and he's like, I've been detecting weird frequencies from this location that I need to investigate. And they're like, Urkel, I can't believe you convinced me to come out here. And then they get to this island. They see all these people chanting, Kong, 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 Kong. And Urkel's like, guys, let's go check it out. And they're like, I don't think these guys are friendly. And then they get onto the island, and immediately one of the family members just gets speared and fucking messily murdered. And then they like put the sister up on like a spike to Kong. And Urkel's like, oops. And then they're like, oh, look, there's dinosaurs on this island and stuff. And Urkel's like, I'm writing this all down. But then King Kong comes out and starts just smashing everything. And Urkel's buddy, who's like the basketball player guy, he gets fucking smashed immediately. And so basically, you know, the whole family seems like they're going to get messily murdered. It's like getting pretty brutal, pretty bad episode of Family Matters. And seems like it's going to maybe end the show. So then Urkel's like, time to get Stefan out. And then he like goes into the machine and he turns into Stefan or whatever. And so he comes out all cool and he's like, don't worry guys, I got clones. And then he just clones all the members of the family, and he clones himself like 1,000 times. And then the 1,000 Urkels all stack up on top of each other in the shape of a body, and they fight King Kong. And they go back and forth for a little bit, but then the Urkels all stacked up get a really good punch in and knock out King Kong, and they all say in unison, did I do that? And that's the end.
Powerful.
That was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Urkel would just win, honestly.
Oh, easy. Yeah. You know, the only problem is how do you draw that out? Because it's like such an imbalanced fight.
He just wins so fast.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could set it up so that after he's like defeated King Kong, the fact that Kong has smashed the wall means that all the other dinosaurs on Skull Island are coming through, and one of them like steps on his clone machine or something, and he has to figure out another thing to do. So he gets out the Urkel bot. You know?
I legit do think that in the show, canonically, Urkel has a clone machine.
Yeah, and he's got a robot too, man.
Yeah. Like, that show gets real weird.
That show started as like a grounded sitcom about like a mixed family or something, right? And then Urkel hit it big, and so now it's about Urkel.
Right. I mean, they jumped the shark at some point, and then they had to do weird stuff. Like, whatever.
Why did Urkel
you ever see the Key and Peele bit about Urkel or Family Matters?
I don't think so.
You should check it out. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think I've seen that one, but it's been a while. I mean, apparently he was a real monster on the set.
Urkel was?
The actor.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, he was like a spoiled kid actor, and he was like the star of the show. Okay. By far, but apparently, like, I saw something that he, like, you know, would like scream at some of his co-stars, and like nobody would like stop him because he was the star. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's a classic. linked in the Discord. Yeah, that's it for the game, boys. It was a lovely 2023.
Yeah, let's put it to bed.
Lawrence, did you get muted, bro?
Oh, maybe. Anyways, I would like to close with a kind of quote, which is, so there was clearly a time when this needed to stop, and we're long past that. So let's just keep going and see what happens. Yeah, from all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't be afraid to be tested by the box, and don't worship Satan. It's bad for you.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna gather it.